Friends, as was announced by the first speaker, the subject of our lecture today is Death is not the end. Now, subject of death is considered to be morbid by some people. They are afraid of death. Some people even avoid discussing subjects of hospital, sick home, old age home, cremation ground, etc., etc., because it reminds them of the inevitability of death. This is something because we do not have right knowledge of who we are. We do not have spiritual wisdom. And Krishna, among many other suggestions given by him to acquire the spiritual wisdom, points out that to acquire spiritual wisdom, you should meditate upon birth, death, decay, sickness, and error. Now, mere meditation upon these topics is not going to really bring spiritual wisdom unless and until we have certain truths already available to us. Because science says, logic says, if your premises are wrong, your conclusion is going to be wrong. So unless and until you have the right idea as to man, nature, God, universe, and so on, you are not really going to come to correct conclusion by reflecting on birth, death, decay, sickness, and error. Suppose you think that this is just the only life, and at the end of it, everything is going to come to an end. Then what will happen? There is a great possibility that we may come to conclusion and adopt a philosophy that eat, drink, and be merry, for we do know not tomorrow. Let's make best of this life, enjoy it. We would be also afraid of death, letting go of this life. We would want to hold on to life at any cost. And in fact, American Medical Association has put on record that people subject themselves to most humiliating and unnecessary medical intervention, which robs the dying process of any dignity. As against this, of course, there are people who have been brought up in their religious traditions which speaks of survival of spirit. Christianity speaks of survival of spirit, which awaits for the day of judgment, when the God, Jesus, would judge the deeds of this individual spirit, and then, of course, ordain for him eternal heaven or eternal hell. Muslims also speak of Allah ordaining Jannat or Jahannam, depending on the kind of actions that you did in a given life. So also, Zoroastrians, they speak of the soul of the dead waiting for judgment for 3 days, and on the 4th day, the soul goes to the bridge of Requital. And there we are told that his good and evil actions of a lifetime are weighed. And if good outweighs the evil, then the soul is able to pass over this bridge of Requital and enter into heaven. But if evil outweighs the good, then this bridge becomes narrow, so narrow that soul is unable to cross over, it topples and falls down into the infernal hell, where it suffers tremendous tortures till the day of resurrection. Hinduism, Buddhism also speak of Swarga, Narka, heaven, hell, land of peace and bliss, and Kamaloka. Now these things notwithstanding, people may have the belief that yes, there is a spirit which survives. Still, as was pointed out by the first speaker, we are afraid of death, because It separates us physically from our near and dear ones. We are afraid of death because it sometimes takes us away from life even before we have realized our goals, our aspirations, so many things we want to do. We have not done and death takes us away. We are afraid of death because it takes us away sometimes when we have just begun to enjoy the fruits of our labor and just plucks us away. We are afraid of death because it has very devastating effect on the near and dear ones sometimes. All these fears are difficult to tackle. They are common. They are common but not universal. We are told that those who have been brought up in the doctrine with the belief, innate belief in the doctrine of karma and reincarnation, they are able to accept inevitability of death as it happened in China. We are told that when there was a great famine in China, in the areas where people were ignorant of their own religions, mothers, they ate their own children in order to live, to survive. But in other areas where there was influence of Buddhism predominant, their population died with utmost indifference. So it shows that apart from the belief of some survival of the spirit, what is essential for us to understand as to what is the spirit, what is the nature of spirit? You have to have right idea about the nature of spirit in order to come to this sort of indifference. And that requires meditation on what Krishna says in the Gita. See the second quotation. It says about the nature of spirit, as a man throweth away old garments and putteth on new, even so the dweller in the body, having quitted its old mortal frames, entereth into others which are new. Spirit is indivisible, inconsumable, incorruptible, and is not to be tried away. It is eternal, universal, permanent, immovable. It is invisible, inconceivable, and unalterable. Therefore, knowing it to be thus, thou shouldst not grieve. Death is certain to all things which are born, and rebirth to all mortals. Wherefore, it doth not behoove thee to grieve about the inevitable. And yet, even though people have these religions giving you true idea of the nature of spirit, there are millions of people in the West, particularly those who have become disillusioned with their religion, particularly Christianity, which speaks of that God who has created this world, which is run according to His will, which cannot be questioned, who speak of this world to be very kind, merciful, just, omnipresent, omnipotent, and yet He does nothing really to relieve people of their suffering. They speak of this God to be just, merciful, and yet He is ordaining you to eternal hell for the sins done of a single lifetime without giving you an opportunity to mend your ways, to become good. People have become disillusioned with this sort of dogmatic approach to the religion. Real Christianity is something different. But when these things are just thrust upon people, they have become disillusioned, they have abandoned their religion. And as a result of it, what they have done, they have embraced, they have become very skeptical. They have embraced science. They are not willing to believe anything which cannot be proved in the laboratory. But in this abandoning their religion, science of course has taught them to think for themselves, reason for themselves. Science has managed to uproot their faith. But science has not managed to provide answers to some of the very fundamental questions as to what man is, what is this universe for, what happens to man after death, is there any purpose, and so on. Science doesn't have explanation, and these things have been the faith of man has been taken away. And as a result of this faith as to true nature of the spirit within, what has happened? Melvin Morse, in this quotation 3, he says that our society suffers from our lack of connection to each other and our collective lack of meaning in our lives. Harmlessness, homelessness, depression, drug abuse, alcoholism, road rage and gun violence all have at their root a lack of spiritual wisdom. And so the Master of Wisdom says that you can do immense good for the Western nations by providing to them a secure basis upon which to reconstruct their crumbling faith. What is that secure basis? That secure basis can be found in the teachings of karma and reincarnation, which have been discarded, unfortunately, by Christianity. This is why Mr. Judge also writes emphatically that these are the doctrines. This is particularly the doctrine of reincarnation. It's called the lost cause of Christianity. And it will do well to, you know, restore that lost cause. But what if a person says that I do not believe in reincarnation? It is very hypothetical. I do not believe in reincarnation. Now, to such a person, death is very, very terrible. And how would you convince him that something survives after death? Is there in this life something to indicate that something survives the death? And luckily for us, many events have taken place in human history which are a clear pointer that death is not the end. One first event that took place was in the year 1848. What happened? Fox sisters in the state of New York, they started receiving spirit communications. Some disembodied entities, they would visit their homes, give messages, give answers to their questions. And soon what happened was that spirit practice, spiritualistic phenomena, calling of the dead, spiritualism became rampant in few decades. It spread like a fire throughout the Western world. People started conducting seances, having the medium at the center, calling the spirit of the dead, communicating with the spirit of the dead, in which the so-called dead person would appear, some sort of a cloudy, hazy appearance, appearing somewhat like your dear departed, would come into the seance room. And people would put their questions to this dear departed. This entity would speak through the mediums, or sometimes some invisible voice will be talking to the sitters, answering their questions, giving out facts which were known only to the dear departed entity and perhaps very few close people. All these things made people to think that indeed the real person, the dead person, is already buried and gone. There is something else which is surviving, which is continuing even after death, which is coming in the seance room and really talking to us. And mind you, this conviction was not the conviction of superstitious, gullible, naive people. These spiritualistic phenomena were conducted by very, very learned, educated people, including Arthur Conan Doyle. And we are told that thousands of such spiritualistic phenomena, genuine, witnessed by very upright people, honorable people, have been put on record of that Society of Psychical Research. This has an indication that indeed consciousness or the man is just not the body. He is independent of the body, using the body. Another incident or another event That is an indication of survival, of spirit or something after death is that of the phenomenon of near-death experiences. Dr. Raymond Moody, in the year 1875, published a book, Life After Life, in which he is giving out his findings. He is a scholar, he is a doctor, he is a medical professional. He is giving out his findings of people describing their experiences after they were clinically declared dead by medical practitioner. These people who had perhaps died on an operation theater, they would narrate what were their experiences between the time they were declared dead to the time they were revived, came back to life as a result of maybe some resuscitation through medical intervention and so on. Some of them, they died in the hospital on the operation theater or on the operation table. These people, they said that suddenly during the operation they died and they rose from the body, rising to the ceiling, looking at their own body. They heard doctor declaring them dead. They heard the conversation that took place between the doctors and perhaps their sisters, nurses and so on. Some of them, they said that they were at home when the message of their death arrived. And they would go on to describe what was the reaction of the members of their family when the news of the death came. What did they say? All these near-death experiences are their research cases, are really giving an indication, at least to scientific-minded people, that how do you really explain this phenomenon that person is declared dead by a medical professional and yet there is something which is experiencing all these happenings. There is therefore something which is not the physical body, not the brain. Body is dead, brain activity is gone, and still something is undergoing all these experiences. Indeed, there is something which is living on even after the death of the body. A lot of people have come around to believing in the doctrine of survival of consciousness after death and also in reincarnation. Yet another thing that is a pointer to the survival of consciousness or spirit is the cases of people being able to remember their past lives. This again is not something which is told by some superstitious person. These are the well-researched cases published in a collection of cases by Ian Stevenson. He has researched 225 cases of people remembering their past life, verified to the detail, minutest detail. They would say, I was there in this such and such village, and I did this, and I spoke this, and they would even tell intimate details to their family members. And all these things investigated and were found to be true. Dr. Satwant Pasaria, he carried out research based on 500 such cases. Is science able to explain that? These are genuine research cases, verified cases. Science is not able to give explanation, but at least people are now thinking that perhaps we have a priori rejected doctrine of reincarnation and we need to really think again. We need to reflect on it again. And while science is still struggling to find the answers, explanations to these phenomena, the wisdom religion, Theosophia, gives us explanation of how these phenomena take place based on the nature of man. We are told that man is not the physical body, he is not just his brain. Behind the physical body, there is an invisible astral model body. In this astral body circulates vitality, prana, life energy, just as blood circulates through the physical body. And also, each man has a distinct passional desire nature. And there is of course the mind of man, which is unique. It is quite different from the mind of an animal. We can think, we can choose, we can reflect upon what we have done, self-introspect, and exercise free will. With the free will, we can become worst, then a devil, animalistic, enjoying life, becoming very, very selfish, materialistic, or we can become selfless, thinking about other people, becoming spiritual. As and when we turn to that still small voice which comes from our higher nature, which comes from intuitive perception of the buddhi. Viveka is not just the room of manners. Viveka is a discrimination or a spiritual wisdom which enables us to live truly as a good human being. That buddhic principle is also there in man. And above all this is the spirit, the Atman, which alone, we have said, is the source of all the energy, all the forces. From it comes our power to know, power to become, and we use that power. We use as a soul that power to know, power to become, and we become, we know. So essentially, we are that immortal spirit within. But we have forgotten our real nature when we are born in a body. And it requires purification of these principles of body, manas, astral body and so on, to get over that illusion and work as that spirit within. It takes, of course, many, many lives to arrive at that stage. We garner experience from each life. And in a particular body, having extracted as much experience that was possible, what happens? We die. When we die, the doctor will pronounce us dead. When the vital signs are gone, there is no breath, there is no pulse, brain activity has stopped, there is no heat left in the body. That is just the clinical death. And we are told at this time, the real man, the soul within, is busy on the inner plane. At that time, when the body is lying without life in it, the inner man is undergoing a very solemn experience of having a preview, a review of the life just ended. We are told that at death, without exception, every individual has a panoramic review of incidences of entire lifetime. You are able to see good, bad actions that you did, feelings that you harbored, etc., etc. Entire lifetime passes from birth to death like a picture, a movie before your mind's eye. And at this time, many of the people who have had near-death experiences, they say that there was present with me a being of light. Jesus was there with me when I had this review. He asked me, was it worthwhile? What have you done with your life to show me? What is this being of life or being of light? We are told that at this time, when this lower instrument of the physical body is discarded, is lying dead, it is no longer putting an impediment. We are in contact with our own higher nature, the spirit within. And it is that being of light which enables us to take stock of entire lifetime without, of course, any reproach or condemnation that, look, you did bad here. You are able to review your life objectively. And after the review, we are told that separation of the higher four principles of Atma, Buddhi, Manas and Desire principle from the lower principles of body, astral body, prana takes place. And these higher principles, they enter into a sphere of Kamaloka, purgatory. Now, it is not a place. It is a state of consciousness in which the higher consciousness suddenly falls. And in this purgatory, a purificatory process takes place. We, as was indicated by the first speaker, we are a mixture of good and evil. We have not reached that saintly stage. We are little good, little bad, and what happens is that in Kama Loka, separation of our nature takes place. All that was selfish, personal, vicious, bad, wicked in our nature, we discard it in that region of Kama Loka, but we have had good feelings, we have done kindly acts, noble aspirations, we have had abstract love for abstract arts like music, painting, sculpting and so on, altruistic feeling, all these things, they are the harvest collected from a particular life by our true nature, real nature. It takes with it these good things from life and enters into Swarga, heaven world, paradise to make it part and parcel of its nature. But what has been discarded, it becomes combined with the astral body to form ghost, spook, doppelganger, whatever, which is what comes to the seance room, throwing off the impressions and making you feel that it is your dear departed who has come. But the real person is now in Devahan, Swarga, heaven world. Now this seventh heaven, Swarga, is truly a place of peace and bliss, in which the person has no memory of anything which is painful. He continues to feel that I am Mr. X, Mrs. Y. And he has no memory of even dying. In heaven world, he is surrounded by all those people whom he loved, liked. He is doing all those things he liked to do during earth. A musician would compose ragas, compose tunes. A painter who always wanted to paint like Rembrandt or Van Gogh will paint like one, without of course having any shortage of canvas or paint. A mother who loved her children dearly, who loved her husband dearly, she would be pouring all her love on the imaginary children that she is surrounded with in that heaven world. She pours all her love, sees them grow, becoming good human beings. It's truly a paradise in which she is in that blissful place, blissful state. And when she is thinking so positively about you, your well-being, do you think that that immortal love of mother or even a husband for a wife or a friend for a friend will just die? We are assured that not so. Those who are sensitive can actually feel the love of their dear departed in their hour of need. That love acts as a protecting shield and sometimes acts as a providential shield or escape from the calamity which might have otherwise struck the child. He might have escaped from the accident because something within, as it well, tells, do not board this train, do not board this bus and so on. Love is what is even affecting us of our loved one who has gone out physically. We are no longer in contact physically, but in other planes we are still in contact with them. And we are told that without exception, every individual is in contact with their loved one in their hour of sleep. And then we are told that how long the person will be having this heaven-world enjoyment? Will it go on eternally? Of course not. All of us have generated some amount of these good deeds. It's called punya, merit. It is in proportion to this merit that you will have a stay in Devahan. A good altruistic person will have a very long stay in Devahan. But the person who was very materialistic has not really given much thought to the suffering of other people. He will not have much material to think on, to live on, and he will be reborn pretty soon. But on an average, we are told that the stay in Devahan is something like 1,000 to 1,500 years. And after this period is over, what happens? The illusion of that mother, that I am Mrs. So-and-so, these are my children, that is also discarded. The inner man realizes that I am the spirit within, which is just taking on bodies after bodies, but I am that immortal soul, I am the spirit within. And this spirit then has a vision of what is going to come in the next incarnation. See in the quotation 7 what we are told, what happens before birth. The whole period allotted by the soul's forces being ended in Devahan, the magnetic threads which bind it to earth begin to assert their power. The self wakes from the dream. It is born swiftly off to a new body, and then, just before birth, it sees for a moment all the causes that led it to Devahan and back to life which is about to begin. And knowing it to be all just, to be the result of his own past life, it repines not, but takes up the cross again, and another soul has come back to earth. But still, people, they say that you talk of reincarnation, we being born again and again. If that is the case, why is it that we do not remember our past life? There are of course cases, exceptions where people remember. But majority of us do not remember. But we do not realize that when we are reborn, it is not the same old body, same old brain. We are born in a new body, in a new brain, with a new brain. And obviously, the memory of that lifetime is going to develop. But are we saying that the memory of past lives and all the learning is lost? No, that is not lost. That is there in the higher aspect of our nature. And if we learn to unite ourselves to the spirit within, then we are able to recall what happened in our past lives. And in Jainism, it is said that as you progress spiritually, you will be able to remember more and more of your past lives. And Buddhism speaks of a stage of Samma Sambuddha, wherein you will be able to remember all your past incarnations. That is a stage which is a very, very high stage. But at our stage, we are able to really bring back that memory. And if we reflect a little, we will realize that it is a wise thing that we do not remember our past life. Suppose, just imagine, if you remembered your past life, if you recognize that so-and-so was my enemy, he did this to me in the last incarnation, he murdered me perhaps, or I did some terrible things, and so-and-so was my disrelation in the last incarnation, and all the events of past incarnations and this incarnation, they will create a pretty mess in how we deal with other individuals. We are unable to really handle that situation at our present stage because we are pretty identified with our personality. Until such time we come to that stage where we are able to think and act like that spirit within, which just takes up the vehicle of the body, the personality, we are blissfully not able to remember our past lives. But there will come a stage we will be able to remember all past lives as Buddha was able to remember. And then, still, beings, we are physical beings, and this is reality as far as we are concerned. we want to go on living in the present body, in the company of the loved ones with whom we are so happy. We want that deathlessness. And if we are seeking deathlessness in the physical body, perhaps it will be wise to really think and reflect upon the lesson which is there in one Greek myth. In the Greek myth, there was this man called Tithonus. Tithonus was this person, and there was goddess Aurora. She was an immortal goddess of dawn, which brings morning. This goddess fell in love with this mortal man Tithonus, and she abducted him, took him to god Zeus, and said that, please grant immortality to this man. And Zeus granted immortality to this man called Tithonus. But Aurora forgot to ask Zeus to grant him also eternal youth. So what happened? Tithonus would not die, but he would go on growing older and older and older, living in that sickly, rickety body, which had all the energy gone. Still, he couldn't die, had to live on. Look at the pathetic state where he was not even capable of really enjoying the love of his beloved. A lament, as it were, comes out from his mouth, which is beautifully put by Tennyson in that poem of Tithon, in that 10th quotation. See what Tithon says. The woods decay, and fall. The vapors weep their burthen to the ground. Man comes and tills the field and lies beneath, and after many a summer dies a swan. Me only cruel immortality consumes. I wither slowly in thy arms, here at the quiet limit of the world. This is what will happen if you want to just live on in this present body. And so we understand that for that spirit which is immortal, living and struggling to live through that sickly, worn out body, death comes as a deliverer and a friend. It relieves him of the suffering which that particular sickly body is giving. Death is not the end. Death actually does not stop your progress. Death does not stop your aspiration. Death opens the door into new life, so that you can come back to life, carry on from where you had left off. In this infinite universe, there are infinite possibilities. One life is not sufficient to realize, to achieve all our aspirations, all our goals. We want to learn painting, we want to do dancing and whatnot, out of which one aspiration we might successfully fulfill. There are so many things to achieve. One life is not enough. And necessarily, these things are going to assert its force. These things do not just go in vain. We need to have something to hope for. And those who think that death is the end, they, like Arjuna, they ask, what will happen? Is death going to bring end to everything? My aspirations and whatever I have achieved, everything will end? And so Arjuna asks Krishna, that what if a man has faith, but he has not achieved the perfection in devotion? Will he, you know, just everything will come to an end? And Krishna says in the 11th quotation, the man whose devotion has been broken off by death goes to the regions of righteous, where he dwells for an immensity of years and is then born again on earth in a pure and fortunate family, or even in a family of those who are spiritually illuminated. Being thus born again, he comes in contact with the knowledge which belonged to him in his former body, and from that time he struggles more diligently towards perfection, O son of Puru. So we carry on through reincarnation our progress becomes possible. It is reincarnation which can explain the phenomenon of child prodigies. Some children are born with exceptional musical ability, exceptional mathematical or some intellectual abilities. How is this? It is really the past learning which is manifesting in this life, and the child of 4 or 5 composes music, Bach and some Mozart, that's the case. At a very young age, exceptional musical ability is exhibited. Our abilities and disabilities, our peculiarities, how do you explain the differences between our natures and our abilities? It is because of the experiences gained in the past lives. And again, these things, we are told that these things are not lost. And sometimes phobias also manifest in current life. Some people have fear of fire, fear of water, fear of height. Nothing in the present life will show why that fear is there. But sometimes this is a manifestation of the experience of the past life. If a person had died in a fire, then it's a traumatic experience. It leaves such a strong impress on the soul, which is manifested in the new incarnation as a phobia for fire. And therefore, some of the psychoanalysts, hypnotists and doctors, they resort to past life regression therapy in order to find out whether some such cause was there, not in this life, but in the past life. Look again, it is this learned, experienced doctors talking about past life and causes there in the past life. And finally, we can say that death does not separate us from our loved ones. Physically, yes, for some time we do not see them, but we meet them in our dreams, and we are assured that we will come back in their company in some future life. That affinity, magnetic affinities, the karmic affinities will reassert itself, and we will be born in that company in future life. How else would you explain your sudden lacking for some people? Love at first sight, we talk of that. Why that you fall in love with somebody just by looking at the person? It's that karmic affinity asserting that magnetic attraction, and you fall in love. For some people, you have that aversion, you just don't like the face of the person for no earthly reason. All this is really converging karma, bringing us again together in that present incarnation. So we can end by that 12th quotation on a very hopeful note, which says that spiritual holy love is immortal, and karma brings sooner or later all those who loved each other with such spiritual affection to incarnate once more in the same family group. Now friends, we have 5 minutes to take up your questions on the subject of our lecture.
Started, you said that you started by saying that people are sometimes, I mean, people don't like to talk about death or hospitals or sickness or illness. Well, I'll give you my personal example. I'll give you an example of my personal life. I've seen so much of sickness that now I dread going to a hospital. But at the same time, I don't fear that. So yes, some people may not like to talk about it, but at the same time, they don't fear.
Yeah. This is actually a contribution that from the personal experience, the student says that he's seen so much of sickness and hospitals and all that, that no longer there is a fear of death. But of course, doesn't want to really go to hospitals or go on thinking about hospitals. But this is actually person being able to extract lesson from what life had to teach. That yes, we all have a date of birth and there is going to be a date of death. And we have done so much actions in the past life, also in this life. If I have been smoking, I have been a chain smoker, then perhaps I may have lung cancer or some such a thing, through which finally some sort of a lung disease strikes me and I die. You are able to see the cause and effect connection. And you see that it is my own which is coming back to me. And sometimes we are not able to really see. Person has lived a very honorable, just, good, altruistic life, and still person suffers. But you see that person is able to accept the death very calmly. The person is not agitated. From the death of another also, you derive lesson. Death bad has a lot to teach to those who are going through the experience of death and for those who are seeing. Person might have, you know, achieved great glories. Take the example of Meena Kumari. She was most sought after actress, achieved so much. And at the end of it, she was in the hospital. She didn't have even money to pay her bills. And very few people were near her. Only his, her stepson and Amrohi family, some members were there. Now, look at Meena Kumari. She is going, after achieving that great height, melody, queen of what you call tears and suffering and misery, she has come to this stage where there are very few people near her. But you are able to accept it, and those near and dear ones, they can see that, look, no matter who you are, this is inevitable. This is what is going to come. And yet, this lady, she had this few people who loved her dearly. They were there with her, holding her hand, looking after her, taking care of her. So there is a lot to learn. And if one has, as a result of experience of going to the hospitals and seeing the sick person and seeing death, has overcome that fear of death, it's a step forward. And therefore, we are told to make best use of our life. Live every moment, that we do not know what will happen tomorrow. And that's what happens. Accidents just take away people very at sometimes young age. We do not know tomorrow. So we have to live our life to the fullest extent. Do all that your good intuition and noble aspirations are asking you to do. Live according to that. And no matter, death will come, but you will have that satisfaction that whatever life, duration was allotted to me, I have made best use of it. There will not be any regret. And you know, there is a certainty that you will come back again, pick up the thread and carry on in this journey. Our goal is to achieve that stage where we will become deathless. We are told that people who have, in the Greeks, some of the Greeks, they believed that the person when died, this dead soul, the soul of the dead person, was asked to drink from the river of Lethe, so that it would forget its past life. But those who were initiated, they were taught that you have to drink from the river Mnemosyne, the river of memory, so that you would not have the illusion of dying, going into Devaha, having rebirth. You will live on in the invisible body called Nirmanakalik body, where there will not be any illusion of death. You will carry on in that self-made glorious body of Nirmanakaya and help the suffering humanity to likewise overcome the pain, suffering, illusion, and all the torments which life is offering. But the message peace that death is not the end. We carry on. We are the spirit within. Thank you, friends.